I understand myself better. Not that Buddha teaching. I'm sorry about that. But
you see that without the Buddha's teaching, you cannot understand yourself. Because the Buddha's teaching is about the realities of what you are and what your life is.
Yes. Up to now, I understand that every problem is come from the eyes. Without the eyes, you have nothing, have no problem at all. But in fact, the human being was born and was living and was being because of the eye already. So without the eyes, only Buddha can come until without the eyes. So it's a problem for everyone. So we cannot drop the eyes until we became until we become an Arahant.
Not yet, not that. Sotapanna. Even Sotapanna. There is no idea
Sotapanna.
Of time.
What is panna?
The first Sotapanna. Stage of enlightenment.
Even Buddha himself enlightened from stage to stage.
But yesterday you told me that còn ba cái đây là cái gì đấy?
Sotapanna.
Thì đến bậc đấy vẫn còn mà vẫn còn ai vẫn còn ngã mạn vẫn còn ai cơ mà thì a la hán vẫn còn
anagami still
concepts panya that level.
Okay, I am come back to the eye.
Everyone
have the eyes,
yes.
In their mind. And
that's why we listen to the teachings, in order to have the elimination of I from understanding it. Yeah. Otherwise, there is I all the time.
Basically, I asked to Ajahn that
everyone already have the concept of I already when we was born. And if that these eyes that create the problem for us, but in the real, in the pure reality, there is no eye at all. But if we come until the real pure reality like that, and we receive no eye, then every people will nào nhỉ? Quên mày vừa mới nói, đừng có mic gì nói hết. Quên mà rồi.
You forgot already. Yes, yes, I do. Yes.
No one will have problem without the eye. Huh? When there is the idea of I, there is no problem at all.
I asked him, so where is the I? Where is the I? Where you can find this idea of I? And then he said that it comes when we speak, it comes when we do things and everything. So I chant to you.
Who sees now? So whenever there is anything without understanding, there is the idea of I.
Same with hearing, smelling, touching, thinking. Always only two six doors of the I comes in.
If there is no I, can there be the idea that I see? If seeing does not arise, if there is no seeing now, can there be the idea of I see? Because there is no seeing, so how can there be the idea I see? But whenever there is seeing without understanding it, one takes seeing as I, one takes everything which appears as I or mine. Now there is seeing and it is I see, right? When there's hearing, it's I hear again. If there's no seeing, there's no I see, there's no I hear, there's no I think, there is no I like, there is no I dislike. No one at all, only different realities arising from time to time. Can you find the I without all these realities? What is not I now? There is I sitting, there is I see, there is I hear, there is I think. What is not I?
It's object of... It's the object
okay,
of...
Okay, the yeah. object is not I,
yeah.
but I has the I have the idea that it's not I. So I who have the idea that it's not I. Who thinks that it's not object? See?
Yes.
You? Or who? Without thinking, there is no I think again.
Object is not I. And the thinking is not I. Yeah, the thinking.
No, no. The thinking.
Okay.
Being nervous when two people.
The thinking is not I. Okay, I have to think. I have to think about is my thinking.
Without that, can there be I?
Is it that it's just similar to let's say going to Paris. We heard about Paris, Eiffel Tower, and we heard about it, but it's not the same than when we are there.
That's why there are different levels of understanding, theoretical knowledge, and then the direct understanding, and then the realization from the development of understanding.
He asked, what happened to this idea of I when we die?
You die every moment.
He said that in theory it's like that, but in reality, still now we're living, and then at one point we die. And then I said, no, in reality we die every moment. Intellectually, he can understand that there is dying every moment, and that it's like any other thing else in the universe. He said that anything in the universe has some characteristic. For example, fire has the characteristic of heat. And even though ultimately, when we light up, for example, a candle, and then the fire, one moment die and one moment is born again, rise okay. and fall away.
But
he understands that. But as long as it's there, it's the characteristic of heat. But when there's no more conditions for the fire to exist, then it's gone, and the characteristic of heat is gone also. So he thinks that for life, there must be some substance that determines that when you die, the substance is not found anymore.
What do you mean by substance?
He understands life by the simile of light or fire. It's the same. He understands that the fire is conditioned by different conditions, by oxygen, by heat, and all that condition the existence of fire. So So similarly, for life, there must be some conditions for life to exist and to have some characteristic of life. So at the moment where that those conditions don't exist anymore, and then no more life.
You think that the end of this life is the end of life? Like no more, nothing left?
Just like Buddha, you said in the beginning, which is right, everything arises from conditions, right? As long as there is condition, there must be condition for a reality to arise. Like now, seeing arises from conditions. Without the eye, without the visible object, there will never be the seeing at all. So as long as there is conditions, there must be something or a reality arise. No matter you call it this life or next life. For example, yesterday and today, there are conditions for reality to arise from moment to moment. You cannot stop the arising of anything at all.
I think we are attached to the idea of someone. If we really understand that life is only seeing, hearing a moment, then like next life or this life is all the same, not different at all, right?
There was seeing yesterday, right? You did make it. No one can have it at will. Like today, that it's seeing right now by conditions, no matter you like it or not. So from this moment to next moment, no matter you like it or not, there must be conditions for next moment after death too. We just call it death, but actually it's the succession of realities by conditions.
There is life now, right? Why is there life now? Because there are conditions in the past for there to be life now, right? What are those conditions? What are the conditions in the past that cause there to be life now?
According to the Buddha, it's attachment.
Attachment that causes rebirth. So, if we understand about the conditions that cause there to be life now, we will know whether there will be life in the future too.
And this moment is future of last moment. No matter you think like you used to think, or the other thing like they like to think, realities are realities, non-stop, arising and falling away from moment to moment. There must be seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking, and then sleep. So life is just sleep and eat. And attachment. And thinking.
I mean it a lot.
Can you stop the way it is? Can you stop the way it is? And before sleep and eat, there is seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking. Before sleep and eat.
Nothing left.
But no eye.
Nhưng mà không có một cái người nào đấy cả. Không có một cái tôi nào trong đấy cả.
seeing is seeing, hearing is hearing, thinking is thinking. Seeing is seeing, hearing is hearing, and thinking is thinking. Now. And then it's time to eat again.
It's impossible to understand reality by thinking, right?
At level of intellectual understanding.
Without referring to what appears now, it's impossible, right?
But without theoretical understanding, it's impossible to
directly
understand.
And so we can see that there are only ever experiences through the eyes, ears, nose, body sense, and through thinking. So if it's not a moment of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, or experiencing through the body sense, then it's thinking. So when there are ideas of I and substance and death and atoms, Vietnam, it's just thinking about different ideas or concepts. So the seeing is real, the visible object is real, the thinking is real, but the ideas of self and substance and final death are just ideas at this moment. So at this moment, it's just the thinking that is real, no matter what it thinks about. So is it correct that at this moment, if it's not seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting or touching, it's just thinking about different ideas, and whether that idea is about I or substance or Vietnam or how difficult the teaching is, it's just an idea, not the reality at this moment.
Can a snake in the field know that this is Vietnam? Or a fly, can it know that this is Vietnam or here is Vietnam? Can it know? Can it know that now here is Vietnam? Can a fly know, a snake know, a bird know?
No.
No. Can it see? Even it sees, it doesn't know that this is Vietnam. It says it doesn't have the idea that this is Vietnam. So it's only thinking.
We ask that we control the mind.
Let's control, because you don't know what the mind... You know what the mind is, so that you can control it.
He said that the people who practice meditation, it seems that they can stop the thinking. So that means that they can control the mind.
What's the use of stop thinking? What's the use of stopping thinking?
Because I think that the people who practice meditation, the deep meditation, can stop their thinking, so through that way they can control their thinking. Sure that me, I cannot control my thinking, but there are people can do that.
Okay. Stop thinking means stop understanding.
Need understanding?
No understanding when there is no thinking.
What is the point of stopping thinking?
Yeah, okay, not stop thinking, but you can direct the way of the thinking. For example, for this moment, I suddenly think about the rice field, but I want to direct this to other side, to the sea, for example, and I attach my thinking to the sea. Okay, I can attach my thinking to the sea, so something like that is the sample way to direct the thinking itself. Do you think that?
To what? Direct thinking to what?
to the object. That
what
I,
object?
To see. To the object that I.
What do you want to direct the thinking towards?
I mean, direct the thinking to the other object. From one object to others.
Such as which object do you want to direct the thinking to?
Example, is that you mean seeing or hearing?
Yeah, see, the thinking, I think of the rice bin, and I, okay, the rice bin is boring now, I would like to come to the sea, so direct to the sea. It only the thinking, yeah, I direct the thinking.
It's now from seeing to hearing, do you direct it? You don't need to direct. It's the way it is. A moment of seeing, then after that a moment of hearing, and then a moment of thinking. Why do you want to play with them?
Like now. Like now, there are moments of seeing through the eye sense, moments of hearing, thinking about what's seen and what's heard. It's changing rapidly all the time. So why does one want to change it or do anything about it? Isn't it just because of attachment, because of the strong idea of self that can control, that would like it to be something different from how it is now? So the Buddha's path is not about trying to, the Buddha's path is not about changing or directing, but of understanding and developing detachment from what appears now. When there's the idea of trying to change it or direct it or have something else arise, this is just attachment with an idea of self that can control. It's not understanding, it's not detachment from what arises now already by conditions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is anatta.
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 No self. Because we go through life trying to make things different from how they are and thinking we can control life. And the Buddha taught it's impossible, because whatever is real in life, seeing, hearing, thinking, like, dislike, it arises by conditions. There's no one, no me, no Sun, no Ajahn Suchin, no one who can change it or make it as we would like it to be. Of course, everyone would like to have happy feeling all the time and everything so pleasant, but it's impossible because the realities change all the time. Seeing, hearing, like, dislike, pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling. It cannot be made to arise as we would like it to arise. So what is important is not trying to change it, but understanding the reality as it is, as it's arisen already by conditions. No self who can change it or make it different from how it is. So instead of trying to stop thinking or trying to have seeing another way or trying not to see paddy fields, just accept the reality as it is and develop more understanding. And then one can live very easily, not trying to change, not trying to force anything. Just understanding dharmas as they are at this moment, as anatta. All the time one lives with an idea of self that can control or direct realities. Life is very difficult, very uneasy, because one always thinks it should be a different way from how it actually is at this moment, conditioned already.
Yes.
Okay. Is that true?
Yeah.
It's learning to understand clearly that there is no self or no I at all. Until it's clearer and clearer, better and better understanding. Until it is the direct understanding of each reality right now as not self at all.
Lan, do you have any question for Ajahn?
Yeah. Continue. So keep on with his questions. So when we read and to have the intellectual understanding, then at that time. We also need to have the intention to consider about those things we read.
Different absolute realities or nama. It's not you. There are only citta and cetasika and rupa, right? And even at moment of understanding is not anyone at all. And the other cetasikas which arise with right understanding then perform their function, even right now.
But the intention to consider and the intention to consider doesn't arise at will. Considering doesn't arise at will, right?
Nothing can arise at will at all.
Nothing can arise
at will, like you want to, or if.
So, automatically, when listening to your Dhamma talk or Dhamma discussion or reading about your teachings, then automatically they will have the cittasika to consider.
If there are conditions for it to arise.
Right. Even attention at moment of hearing can be right attention, wise attention, or wrong attention.
So free. So free because nothing to do.
But if at that time when listening or seeing the word on the books, so
it's like listening to the Buddha himself, because he's the one who spoke to the monks at that time. While you are reading the teachings, it's the same like those who listen to the Buddha himself,
yes,
spoke to them.
But I mean when reading the book, at that time is the reality is seeing the word, seeing the sentence.
After seeing, there is thinking.
Yeah.
Wisely or unwise.
Thinking of the sound of the word, not just seeing. This is the difference between seeing and reading.
Yes. So when reading, it will be changing from seeing and then thinking about perception about the meaning of the word reading.
Are you reading now?
Seeing now.
Are you reading now? At this moment?
Seeing now and touching now.
Seeing sees and you read. this is not like the letter, but it has shape and form. Exactly the same.
Yes.
Because there is thinking after seeing, no matter it's reading or thinking in shape and form, it's not seeing.
Yes.
Different moment.
Thinking, remembering, interpreting,
yeah,
what has been seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, very naturally, nothing to be done. And after seeing it, just depends whether there's wise or unwise consideration, wise or unwise reflection. But no one can change it or make it be one way or the other. Nothing to be done. But by hearing and considering more about realities, that is the condition for there to be more wise reflection, more understanding. But not by trying to make it happen or having expectations that it will be wise reflection now or understanding now. Otherwise it's more attachment, trying to make it happen, and that's a hindrance.
About the attachment, it's also realized by understanding. When realize the attachment, it's also realized by understanding.
Intellectually.
Excuse me. Intellectually. Sometimes facing with some situation and then can know that that's it, there is an attachment then at that time.
You call or you think about it, but not the exact moment of knowing or understand that reality which arises and falls away.
No. I mean, at that time, naturally, when know about an attachment.
That's why one can know, or Panya will know, the difference between just experiencing it without understanding it, without awareness, or that moment is the experiencing with awareness and right understanding of a characteristic which is not just the words or thoughts. For example, seeing right now, there is seeing, but right understanding is not enough to understanding it, just it. No shape, no form, so dark, but it can see now. By then you know what is meant by that which experiences an element which is not sound, not light. Whenever it arises, it experiences and it falls away in split seconds.
So attachment is cetasika?
It's not citta, it's cetasika, because sometimes there is this attachment and sometimes there is no attachment with citta. Instead of attachment, it can be aversion or anger with citta. At that moment, there is no attachment.
By different level of understanding, then when realize different level of attachment.
But very gradually, very little, comparing to the accumulation of avijja and ignorance and attachment before, from life to life.
So for clear understanding, I want to ask if when we sit like this, are there many or continuous intention to maintain the sitting, or just have intention
for the sitting only one time, and it resign will last for the whole time until we have another session, another intention to stand up or to lie down.
Intention arises with each moment of citta, right? Citta arises and falls away. Citta is different from moment to moment. So intention which arises with citta is different from moment to moment. At this moment, you think that you are sitting, but what about the intention arising with seeing? It has no intention to sit. Does the intention to sit arise with the seeing?
No. That's why I think that only one intention to sit, because later reality won't be the seeing or hearing or touching or anything.
There is intention too at moment of seeing, but not intention to sit.
And you hear?
So there are seven citta seekers that arise with every single citta. So one of these is chetana, intention. So at every single moment, with every single citta, there is chetana, there is intention.
Yes.
So moment of seeing, moment of hearing, every moment of thinking, there is chetana. And it just depends on that citta, for example, that moment of thinking, what it thinks about, what kind of intention arises at that moment.
I still sit like this, and then in this posture, I'm not standing to listen or.
Yes.
So.
But there's intention to speak, intention to move the arm, intention at every moment.
Yes. Yeah. And also during that intention to speak or intention to move my hand, there's still intention to keep on the sitting.
Different object at different moments, so like maybe you move your leg a bit, or you have no idea how many moments of intention, because it is arising at every single movement. So every time I move my arm or blink my eyes, or there's intention at each moment. So who can know for someone else how many moments of thinking about sitting there is?
Sitting is set already, no need to
keep
have another intention to keep it on thinking.
That's what I understand, because someone says that when during we sit deep for 1 hour or half an hour, there's always have the intention to have that.
They keep thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Prove by yourself now whether there's intention to sit.
That's why I don't see the intention to sit when I...
Mm-hmm. Whatever the others speak.
Once you're sitting now, you're not thinking about it anymore, right? You're thinking about other things.
Yeah. That's also what I understand.
So let's find out what is the characteristic of intention and what is its function.
What is the... function of intention. Find out. Characteristic.
Since it arises with all kinds of citta, we have to understand different aspects of intention. For example, while one is fast asleep, it's the citta. Is the citta?
Yes.
And is the intention?
No.
Yes. Because it arises.
Why not?
Every citta.
Yeah. So we don't know the function of citta. We think that citta is only a moment of intending to do something, but actually it's not.
There are a lot of moments when we are not aware at all of our intentions, right? Very few moments where we become aware of it.
It's not object of awareness, so how can we know exactly? But let's think about it. At moment of being fast asleep, is there citta?
Yes.
Is there intention or jetana in each one, in each citta? What does it do?
It
coordinates the other chaitta-seekers at that moment?
Because its function is to urge, like the head student, that tell the others to do when teacher comes, something like that. So when it's Bhavanga, it has no intention to be kusala, to sit, or to do anything at all. But it arises with Bhavanga, urge the other chaitasikas together, arising together to perform their function. That is its function of Jedana, of volition. But who knows those aspects of Jedana, of volition? No one knows. But when it is kusala or a kusala volition, one can see that person has intention to kill or has intention to speak wrongly or rightly, see? So at this moment, no thinking about rupa sitting at all, at moment of seeing, it experiences whisper object. At moment of thinking, the thoughts is the object of thinking, that's all. No time to think about the rupa which sits.
Yeah.
And how many citta can condition the position, like jhana citta, see, no movement at all at that moment. But it can keep the body sit straight. Its function is like that. The jhana citta cannot change the position, but it can keep the position to be exactly the same. No, like this and all. That's why when we study, we have to think, when we study the citta, the study the chaitasika, each of them, we can consider a lot in order to really understand all aspects of just one reality. Like citta, no matter it arises to be Lokuttara, experiencing Nibbana, or jhana, or akusala, or anything, its function is to be the faculty of experiencing. It cannot like or dislike, it cannot think, it just experience, like now. Seeing, one begins to understand seeing, but not really directly experience its characteristic at all. From the very beginning, it's only intellectual understanding, which later on, when there is more and more understanding of the difference between attending to the characteristic which sees, then it panya, which has developed from learning, considering, can begin to develop the understand that nature which sees. Has no self, no one. And this is what is meant by patipatti. Approach reality with awareness and right understanding of the characteristic of a reality, which is not just thinking. It will lead to pativeda, the realization, the truth of reality at that moment as it is, one characteristic at a time. All about panya, developing panya. The teachings of Buddha will bring more and more panya, right understanding. Not just be attached to the system or whatever one would like to experience without understanding. Understanding or vichaya is quite different from ignorance and not understanding. 45 years he taught.
Vichaya is much more subtle to understand and to be aware of. I think right now for us, wrong view is much more obvious, right? It's more. So what's it most accessible for us to see and to investigate?
Because avijja arises with all kind of akusala. So akusala, reality like attachment and aversion can appear, but avijja is underlying. It's there.
At the moment of at the moment when there's not avijja, it doesn't mean that there can there be panya, not necessarily, right?
At moment of
no avijja, absent avijja.
It can, yeah, because all the 14 akusala chetasika can arise with citta, which are akusala only, not akusala vipaka.
Her question is, when it is not akusala, when there's no avijja, does it mean there, it doesn't mean that there is panya necessarily there, and this is correct, because even when it's kusala citta, most of the time no panya, so only with, only when it is kind of bhavana is, does panya arise. Otherwise, at moments of dana or sila or metta, there may or may not be any panya arising. And with vipaka jitas, no panya arising.
So just
because there isn't akusala doesn't mean there is panya.
Because the word or the term bhavana means development. So there is also another word, kusala bhavana, which does mean that there must be panya. It's only the development of kusala from the dana and sila. That's why people have different characters. One who like to have dana, the other like to have sila by accumulations.
And the panya can be of different levels, like the panya that see the kusala, understand the kusala and akusala. It's different from the panya which realize the reality as it is, right?
Intellectual and direct understanding and realization, different stages.
Before, when you were talking about in posture, and you were saying, for example, if you like, if you are sitting, you're cross-legged or something, and there is thinking about the posture, and when Lan said, oh, usually she doesn't think, but actually if you're, you know, if you're sitting cross-legged and you're in pain, and then maybe there's a lot of thinking about sitting upright, so it just depends on conditions at any time. Like now, no thinking about sitting, but maybe some other time.
Yeah, like when, if when someone is, when there's some change or some phenomena arise, then concerning to the sitting, then we will arise. But when it's not any change.
Right, then usually no thinking. But if, for example, you're doing your Tai Chi or your yoga or your sitting in a temple and you're having some difficulty, then maybe conditions to think about it. So again, yes, just depends on the conditions. So.
As soon as someone says sitting, you think of the sitting. Otherwise, you don't think about it.
As soon as someone mentions it, then you start thinking about sitting, yes.
Studying Abhidhamma?
Just started. What's on my manual comprehension Abhidhamma, Bhikkhu body. Body.
Oh,
body, yeah. Hello,
Abhidhamma.
Yeah, manual.
Yes. The manual of Abhidhamma, yes. Abhidhammata Sangaha, yes.
Bodhi Bhikkhu.
Yes, yes. The Abhidhammata Sangha, yes, very good, yes. This is like a summary of the Abhidhamma, yes, yeah, very good.
From where the intention was born, is
come from.
The intention.
It's like all conditioned realities with unconditioned cannot arise. Did he teach about his enlightenment?
He's one of the famous temporary meditation master, which
he passed away already.
Yes.
He died already.
What did he
teach about
It is said that after his successful, he taught about meditation and also like Abhidhamma.
Never be the same at all. What is his Abhidhamma?
I'm not sure. I don't know much about this, but I heard about that.
No explanation. So how can anyone say that it's exactly the same as Abhidhamma? Study his words and then you know.
Can the understanding by Abhidhamma be the reason of the practice meditation by four foundations of mindfulness?
If one study wrongly, there is the idea of self who can do.
Yes, I'm not even if someone practices wrongly.
So it's wrong meditation. It's wrong understanding.
As I believe that some people. Perhaps they have practiced rightly, and then they have achieved the
condition for. What is the condition for right practice? And what is practice? And what who practice?
What is the practice?
This is very important. What's the practice?
The way they practice can be.
What?
Conflict with the reality which you are teaching now.
Because as soon as there's an idea of practice or the practice, it's an idea of doing something of someone there. It's not understanding reality. So if there's an idea of doing the four foundations of mindfulness or of focusing on posture or being aware of breath,
they can practice with some objects, but later they all come to the reality.
But if in the first place they practice with some objects, it
and
means
later
in the
they can realize some
but
wrong in their practice and
right cause, right effect, wrong cause, wrong effect.
Yes, I agree.
So the right cause for the right effect, which is what? Wrong view can be right cause.
Wrong practice can lead to right practice.
Yes. Excuse me?
Can wrong practice lead to right practice? Can wrong understanding lead to right understanding?
They can practice with some object.
So what is the cause and what is the effect?
But then later, their practice does not same for...
The Buddha taught about cause and effect. So only cause and effect.
Yes.
So in order to have the right effect,
yes,
the cause should be right.
Yes.
So if the wrong view is the cause, can there be the right effect,
no,
which is the right practice?
No.
So if there is the idea of practicing, that means there is the idea of self who can do something. So it's wrong view or right view?
But you should know that at first they can practice with some objects like rising, falling, or the sensation, or those things arise in the mind. But later from their practice they can come to which
they can see that it's wrong.
And then they change their practice.
They can see that
what they do is also to aware of those arise in the present moment.
It means that he can do. Yes, from the beginning it's wrong, and then he can do. It's still he can do the right one. It's still he.
Or he can do it without the objects now.
Or
so
just the beginning, the practice with the object.
So if we agree the beginning is wrong, okay, so forget about the beginning because it's all wrong. And then in the middle, what is the understanding or the idea of practice then?
Also experience those things arise at the present moment.
Did he say what is the wrong beginning and what is the right beginning after?
Let everybody win say about the reality.
I very much.
And the understanding can come from and come as a result from their practice.
From wrong practice.
So it's the if there is some understanding of realities later, yes. Like now maybe we followed meditation practices before, and now there is some understanding of reality. But the understanding of reality is in spite of all the wrong view and wrong practice that was accumulated. It's not a result of. It means that in spite of the wrong view and the wrong practice, there was moments of understanding enough to accumulate understanding of realities now. So, but the wrong practice can never lead to right practice.
But
right?
Cannot say that they practice wrong all the time. Later, they don't practice wrong.
Right. So. But what is the cause? What is the cause for they don't practice wrong anymore?
They also, that's the reality.
There needs to be a cause. There needs to be a cause for an effect, right? So if at one moment they start to have right understanding, what is the cause for this?
There is no wrong practice at all, because whenever you see that it is wrong practice, it's already right already, it's become right already.
Right, so if they understand that no. It's wrong practice, then it's...
Yeah, it become right already, so there is no wrong practice at the beginning. I think that you can practice anything you meet, and then you develop the understanding, and then...
Right understanding knows what is wrong, wrong practice, and what is right practice. Yeah. So that person should tell what is wrong practice and what is right practice.
And if you say that the right practice or the right understanding just comes from experience, not from reading, but actually, yeah. If there's no hearing, no considering, no study, then cannot be. For example, if we don't hear about realities such as seeing visible objects, sound, we might think there's awareness of the present, or like some people said in the discussion yesterday, just some vague idea, awareness of the situation, but it's not right understanding of realities because we haven't heard about those realities. Because experience, what is experience? A lot of attachment and ignorance and wrong view. So everyone needs to hear the teachings.
Experience about those things arise at the present moment. It means that that's reality. Experience about reality.
So even those who have never heard the Buddha's teachings, like I was mentioning to Thay yesterday, there is experience of reality. Seeing still sees visible object.
Well, perhaps but they are also. Read about Buddha's teaching, but perhaps not Abhidhamma.
Then it's what? Okay. If it's not Abhidhamma, then it's what?
I remember in your talk in Cambodia, you said at the beginning that when we understand deeply the teaching, then we can see that the whole Tipitaka must be in conformity with each other. So what it's taught in the sutta is the same than in Abhidhamma, right? Not different.
So he's not the Buddha's disciple because he thought he could become successful by himself.
No, his achievement is the result to...
cái thực tế là họ đã thành tựu rồi đấy chứ.
Ai nói là họ thành tựu, làm sao biết là họ thành tựu? How do you know?
She said because in reality now they are enlightened. So how do you know they are enlightened?
Perhaps you can say that by belief, for example Ajahn Mun or Ajahn Mahabhuwa or someone,
just by faith.
You can say so.
Did they teach? What did Ajahn Mun teach? And who's Ajahn Mun? A what?